right, so this Mars lander, this thing is like $1.2 billion or $2.1 billion, I forget, what is it?
After a while.
Give or take a billion.
Okay, but they don't have like a little puff of air to take the dust off the lens of the camera?
I was wondering about that, you know, of all the, it's like we just can't have nice things.
I know, if only there were a congressman we could talk to about that. How can we, hey, good morning, Bill, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Scott. Good to talk to you and Tom and Chase this morning.
So now, we can't get something to blow the dust off the camera lens on the Mars lander. I guess they didn't put that in there.
Well, I guess they didn't order that option. I guess it was actually $2.5 billion, but I guess they
had
to run out of money.
That's it. Well, okay, we'll have to remember that next time. And while we're talking about that for just a minute, we were flabbergasted with the, and I know this is not in your how's the dog doing? That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. That's America, right?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's the real world. We know you're not in the office in D.C.
That's true.
One of the things that we had talked about was a report last week on Amtrak and how much money they had lost just in the food and beverage area of Amtrak. And it's $8 billion or something like that. And they told a story about the soft drink that they sell for $2 on the train costs us $3.40. And I mean, who in their right mind is going to do that? And how can we really show our appropriate outrage when we have the government doing stuff like that that's really brain dead?
Well, I wish I had an answer for you, because the law says that Amtrak is not supposed to get into auxiliary businesses that lose money.
Yeah.
Meaning, for instance, if you buy a hamburger on Amtrak, it costs you $9.50, and then the taxpayer kicks in another $6.65.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I voted against the transportation and housing and urban development bill, because the appropriators there did not behave in what I consider to be a responsible manner, and they continue to subsidize Amtrak. Anyway, you know, and I caught a lot of grief for voting against the T-HUD appropriations bill. I don't know. I don't have the answer for it. I wish that, well, there's a couple things we're going to have to do. Number one is we're going to have to get a different group of people on the Appropriations Committee and get them to start appropriating based on today's economic world. And then secondly, we need to have an election where we can change out the folks in the Senate and the White House so that we can get it done together. It wouldn't have done any good for us to pass it on our own on a reform basis, because it wouldn't have gone anywhere anyway.
Now, and let's just kind of talk from the political landscape here for just a minute. Obviously, we had talked last week after the Tea Party victory for Ted Cruz in Texas, but as things are so spread apart right now, as the parties are so divided, what in one view is yours as to what will happen with the Tea Party influence in Washington, even though we still have some elections to go? Is this a good thing? Can it bring the two established parties together, or will it simply pull them farther apart?
Well, I think the Tea Party influence is good, because it gets conservatives out to vote for the type of America that reflects today's economic realities and also follows the Constitution. So I think it's going to have a positive influence, because the other direction that folks want to go is clearly an unsustainable direction from an economic standpoint, and also from a values perspective. So I think it's good that they're going to come out. The influence, I think, you know, it's not going to pull us any closer together. But as you and I have talked in the past, I don't see the compromise position between one side of the aisle that would like to have more paychecks for folks, because we think that's the ultimate solution to building a middle class, versus the other side of the aisle that believes that food stamps is the direction to go.
Bill Floor is joining us this morning in the district. Now, the jobs report came out on Friday, and again, the number is still too big, but the administration said, well, at least it's not bigger than we thought it was going to be.
Well, that's for the 23 million Americans that either don't have work, that have given up looking for work, or that are underemployed. I mean, for instance, those that are working part-time that want to work full-time, it's a disaster, and it reflects the 42nd month of unemployment over 8%. So I thought it was a very disappointing number, and it continues to reflect that what you and I here in real-world America know, and that is that the president's policies for getting the economy back on track just do not work. They failed.
There had been some talk that the House was going to stay in session even though the Senate had gone on. Now, you didn't, and I guess you're adjourned until September the 10th, but what was the thinking there as far as maybe staying in session, and what was the linchpin that finally made you decide that you were going to come home?
Well, I'm not in leadership, so I don't know all the back and forth that they went through to come up with an idea, but I can tell you this. It doesn't do any good for us to stay in session, when I say us, the House, to stay in session, if the Senate's not there, because we'll continue doing what we've been doing, and that is passing one Main Street economic bill after another, after another, after another, and then they'll all head to Harry Reid's trash can, which is what has happened the last 19 months. So I just, in my view, it just didn't make sense to stay in session. Now, we did send a letter to Harry Reid and said, if you'd like to address the looming fiscal cliff, which includes the tax cliff, the pending tax increases, and the sequestration cuts, then we are happy to come back into session to do that. So the Speaker and the leader of the House sent that to Harry Reid, and I strongly support what they said, and I'll be prepared to head back to Washington whenever we need to.
Bill Flores joining us from the district this morning. Any chance that there are some recess appointments that may happen while both houses are out?
Well, see, we're actually not, we did not adjourn.
Okay.
There was a vote to adjourn, and that vote failed, which means both houses are technically still in session.
Okay.
And what we do is we have a pro forma session every third day where somebody comes in and gavels the house open. We have the prayer and the pledge. I did it this past Friday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's any business, we take care of the business. And then it's gavel closed for 3 days. Now, during that time period, according to the Constitution, the president cannot make recess appointments. Now, he has done it in the past, but I would hope that he wouldn't want to stick his finger in our eye again and try it again.
Now, you mentioned sequestration, and of course this passed by a 414-2 vote, to clarify what sequestration would be, and surprisingly the president signed that.
Yes, he did. He signed it earlier this week, and I didn't expect him to, because it's going to require that the administration put out the transparent plan that they have put together to implement sequestration. Up until now, we've been asking questions about, now, what are you going to do in terms of cutting our military? And they would not tell us. What are you going to do in terms of cutting veterans' benefits? They wouldn't tell us. And now we're going to find out once and for all if they comply with the law.
And they've got 30 days, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, since you're back in the district, you'll have some town halls coming up?
Yes, sir, we do. Next week, we're going to have one on the 15th in Cleburne and on the 16th in Waco. And then we'll have a third one on the 17th of September here in Bryan College Station.
Okay. Anything else important that I missed?
Well, last week I introduced the Federal Lands Energy Regulatory Certainty Act, which is to delay some rules proposed by the Bureau of Land Management having to do with energy operations until they do a full study on the impact on America's energy security and in terms of our economic impact and deficit impact.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session, and sometimes like today, even when they're not. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Great talking to y'all, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country and for our military men and women that protect it.
All right.